Chapter 18. Dinner in the Courtyard. Another lonely weekend came. Sandra was feeling rather down again on Saturday. She still felt sad for Peter and Jessica's loss and quite anxious about how she would ever pay her rent that month. She was disappointed in James, still confused by Brett's glance and wondering if she would ever find someone who really cared. With plenty of time to spare, she finished reading a novel, replied to a chatty email from one of her friends in Ontario, did a little tidying, and watched two movies. The last movie made her feel 10 times worse than before. It was a beautiful love story with a handsome young prince who was wonderfully charming and remarkably devoted. When it was over, she felt even more wretchedly alone. "Why do I do this to myself?" she thought. "It feels so good while I'm watching, but afterwards my own life seems so incredibly deprived. I want some handsome prince to hold me close like that and promise that he'll love me forever and mean it." She grabbed the DVD out of the player and snapped it back into its case. "Where will I ever find him? If only it could be Brett. But he's not mine, and he's probably just another charmer. I want someone who's kind and loyal and passionately believes in forever. Forever with me." Sandra tossed the case on the floor in disgust. Then she bent over, picked up both movies, and placed them on her kitchen counter. She would take them back to the library Monday morning. "Am I just feeding myself foolish expectations with all this candy floss?" she wondered, wandering back into her living room. "Will such fantasy make me want something I can never have?" A new thought suddenly occurred to her. "Maybe I'm looking for the wrong things. Maybe I overlook the kind of men who would actually be faithful and loyal and kind. I've made such huge mistakes in the past. I don't want to go through that again." Sandra was too distraught to work on her kindergarten project. It was getting late in the evening, and she didn't feel like getting into anything big. More than anything, she just wanted a friend, someone to talk to. "Oh, well, I guess I might as well go to bed," she thought, "although I'll be awake for hours thinking about that movie. Maybe I'll read the magazine I found in the recycling bin." Her glance fell on the Bible that Peter and Jess had given her. "No, forget all this trashy stuff," she told herself. "I'm going to read through Genesis tonight if it kills me." Lying in bed with her head propped up on the pillows and Tiger curled up by her side, Sandra read past midnight. She read right through Genesis, the whole book. That really wasn't so hard, she thought to herself, rolling over to turn off the light. In fact, it was surprisingly interesting. I loved the story of Joseph. He certainly had to forgive and forget. If only there were more brothers like him. With a smile, she decided, "I think I'll start Exodus tomorrow." Sunday morning, she tried calling Jessica to see if Peter needed any help the next day, but there was no answer. "Oh, right," she recalled. "Jessica's at church. I should ask if I can come with her next Sunday. I'd like to find out what they do there. It's got to be better than staying home alone." After reading several chapters in Exodus and being amazed by all the plagues God had brought upon Egypt for their refusal to let the Israelites leave, Sandra took a long walk down by the harbour. On the way home, she picked up another bag of brown rice and a few discounted veggies. Instead of feeling depressed that this was all she could afford, she reminded herself, this is probably a lot more than what many children in third world countries have for dinner. Tuesday morning, Sandra was back at James' apartment to clean. After his angry remarks at her door, she wondered if there might be a note saying he'd found another housekeeper. How would she ever pay her rent if he did? It was due in a week, and she wasn't even close to having enough money saved. There was no message on the computer desk, but the envelopes of money and the handwritten grocery list confirmed that James expected things to continue, at least for now. An extra special recipe caught Sandra's eye that morning, and when she'd finished most of the housework for the day, she made clam chowder with a leek and potato soup base. She left a tray of biscuits on top of the oven covered with a cloth and instructions on how long to bake them. Since black cherries were on sale at the grocery store that week, she made frozen cherry yogurt with a peach swirl. Did it smell good. After pouring it into a plastic container and setting it into the freezer, Sandra licked out the blender. She didn't feel guilty about doing that. It would just go to waste otherwise. Yum. Hope you like it, James, she thought. Maybe you'll forgive me for inviting you to the kingdom feast. I sure hope so. As Sandra polished the big windows and gazed across the calm, shining blue water, she found herself thinking again about her brother. It had been a couple of weeks since Laurie had promised to take her sailing on his yacht. Even after Jessica's inspiring words and the new vision she was creating, Sandra found it difficult to cast her old daydreams aside. "I hope Laurie doesn't let me down again," she thought wearily. "Surely after all the cancelled dinners and get-togethers, this time our plans will be a priority. I can't wait to sail in his yacht." Vacuuming the living room, Sandra idly drifted off to imagine a warm welcome at the cottage, the beaming smile on Laurie's face, the friendly glow on Michelle's. "Ready for this big adventure, sis?" Laurie was asking. "Michelle and I are so happy to have you come along." "I brought some gravel just in case you get seasick," Michelle said with genuine concern. "It's supposed to be a calm, beautiful day, but you just never know for sure." "Thanks so much for thinking of me," she could hear herself saying. "I've never sailed before, but I'm really looking forward to it." As she put the vacuum away and started collecting the old newspapers, she could see herself being escorted to the yacht, her kind brother extending his hand to help her on. "Steady now," he was saying, holding her arm. "Just a little jump and there you go. What do you think? Is this good enough for my sister?" "It's beautiful," she was saying, looking out over the sparkling blue water. "This is a dream come true." "And it's only just begun," Laurie chuckled kindly. Sandra stacked all the papers by the door and picked up the duster. "Just you wait and see what we're going to have for dinner," Michelle chimed in pleasantly. "We have a famous New York chef aboard. I hope you like sirloin steak. Laurie thought you would." "Oh, yes," Sandra imagined herself responding. "It's my favourite." "I know," Laurie laughed. "We always used to order steak for our birthdays." "You remembered?" Sandra smiled, her heart aglow with wonder. She reached high to remove all the cobwebs in the corners of James's living room. "Of course," giving her a hug. "That's why I ordered it for our first meal together. This is a long overdue celebration." As Sandra walked over to dust the computer desk, she could almost feel the ocean breeze, soft and balmy against her face. Even though she'd never sailed before, from the movies that she'd watched and books that she'd read, she could well imagine the gentle rhythmic motion of the waves, hear the seagulls cry, and smell that delicious sirloin steak searing on the barbecue. She thought, making a slight change to her dream as she picked up a cloth to polish the computer monitor. "Maybe we'll have a small luncheon first, with hot biscuits, imported wine, and a vast array of cheese. Ah, that's nice." With the wind ruffling her hair and billowing through the ruffled white skirt that she wished she owned, she sat with the others around a food-laden table, munching happily on a biscuit as they set out to sea. "And how are you doing financially?" she heard Laurie inquire. "It can't be easy on a part-time salary." "Well, no, it's been rather tight," she admitted. "Really?" Laurie asked, with such genuine compassion in his deep blue eyes. "Look, Sandra, if you ever need to come and stay with us for a few years, you know we'd be delighted to have you." Stacking all James's pens and pencils into one neat pile, Sandra savoured the beautiful feelings of acceptance, devotion, and concern. As always, it lifted her spirits. Only, she wished one day it would be real. There was still the bookshelf to dust. Sandra glanced at the family photo she'd become so familiar with as she polished the glass. "You won't even go to your own brother's wedding," she remarked despairingly to the lanky teenage James. "You don't know how lucky you are. You have a mum and a dad and two brothers, and you even have nephews and nieces, and soon you'll have two sisters-in-law." It was evening when Sandra returned to her own apartment. Reaching into the box of supplies Jessica had given her, she took out a tin of tuna. "I think we'll skip the brown rice tonight," she said to Tiger. "I've detoxed long enough. Maybe we can have a tuna and craft dinner casserole for a splurge. Would you like to share that with me?" Tiger purred happily. Sandra ran out to the grocery store and was back in 20 minutes with a package of Kraft dinner. Turning on a pot of water to boil, she opened the box and pulled out the package of cheese. Then the phone rang. "Hey, Sandra," a friendly voice said nervously, "I'm just wondering, there's so much chowder, I can't possibly eat it all myself. Do you want to join me for dinner in the courtyard, or have you already eaten?" "No, I haven't eaten. I was just making dinner," she said, somewhat taken aback. "More rice?" "No, tuna casserole?" She smiled slowly. "But I'd be happy to join you. Right now." "Just give me 10 minutes to cook these biscuits," James said cheerfully. "That's right, isn't it? I've got the oven on. I just have to stick them in." There was a clatter and then an oops. "Did they fall on the floor?" Sandra giggled nervously. There was a pause and shuffling noise before James answered. "Oh, well," he began sheepishly. Yes, I guess I shouldn't have tried to do this with one hand, but this floor's so nice and clean, I'll be okay. 5-second rule, right? Sandra laughed. Do you want some help carrying everything down? Sure, James replied. The biscuits were rather misshapen, but beautifully golden brown. Sandra felt quite awkward meeting James again after the argument they'd had, but she could instantly tell that he was trying to make things right. James was more courteous than ever, pulling out one of the metal chairs for her to sit down in and taking it upon himself to serve out the meal. When everything was laid in order, he looked over solemnly. I want to apologize for the other night, he began earnestly. I've been feeling badly ever since. I shouldn't have been so upset. I hope I didn't scare you, like I scared your cat. Sandra giggled. You scared my cat? James laughed nervously. It was under your couch the whole time, shivering with fear and staring at me with these big saucer eyes. It's a good thing you didn't have a dog or you might have taken my leg off. And it would have served me right. The thought of Tiger staring fearfully at James from under the couch was inexplicably funny to Sandra. She laughed until the tears rolled out of her eyes. James joined in, and the laughter became contagious between them. It was several minutes before they could stop. Finally, they settled down to enjoy the chowder. The tension had been released. Do you know how good this is? James remarked sincerely. Man, I wish I had someone cooking for me every night. A look of embarrassment crossed James's face, and he quickly added, Ah, that's the life of a bachelor. Pros and cons to everything. What are the pros? Sandra asked impulsively. Oops, that might be a rather personal question, she chided herself. James was still flushed. He pondered evasively, looking down at his spoonful of chowder. I'm sure there are some, but I can't really think of any at the moment. Then he looked up candidly and shrugged. It's not like I've chosen to be on my own, he explained. It's just that nothing's ever worked out. There was an uncomfortable silence as they both sipped the chowder and munched on the biscuits. Then James asked, What about you? Are you on your own? Sandra laughed, glowing pink herself. I am, she admitted. I've had a few relationships that have come and gone, but I've always been rather occupied with helping my mum, getting through school, making ends meet, and finding my brother. Does your brother live out here? James asked, passing Sandra another biscuit. She could tell they were both relieved to change the subject. Yes. What's his name? Laurie. Laurie Carrington. Do you have much to do with him? No, she admitted. So far, every time we've planned to get together, he has had to cancel for one reason or another. He and Michelle work pretty hard, she explained. But just recently, he invited me to spend the first weekend in July with them. We're going to sail around Cape Breton on his yacht. I'm dying to see him again. It's been 18 years. 18 years? James replied with astonishment. Sandra nodded. When I lived in Ontario, it was even more difficult to get together. James swallowed hard. Does he look like you? Sandra shrugged, sipping another spoonful of the chowder. It's tasty, she thought, and it's so good to eat something other than rice. I don't really know what he looks like now, she confessed. When he left, his hair was dark and curly and he had the bluest eyes. He was on all the sports teams, and girls were always phoning to talk to him. Was he good to you? James inquired, serving himself another bowl of chowder. Noticing that Sandra's bowl was close to empty, he asked politely, Would you like a refill? Nodding eagerly, Sandra held out her bowl. James filled it. Thanks, she said, setting her bowl back down on the table. He was never bad to me, she recalled, but I was so much younger that we didn't have a lot to do with each other. I can remember he sometimes would read me books on the weekends, and I know he tried to teach me how to catch a ball, but I wasn't all that coordinated. James was listening and asking questions in such a concerned way that Sandra soon spilled out her whole life story. She told him what it was like to grow up without a father, not really understanding why he had left or why he didn't keep in touch, and how she learned to clean house for her mum since her mother worked full-time. And then my mother died just before I finished university, Sandra relayed. She was killed in a car accident. Sandra, that's all so tragic, James exclaimed. It's so sad. I can't imagine not having a family, he said sympathetically. I'd feel so alone. Sandra didn't respond for a moment. There was sincere compassion in James's hazel brown eyes. His voice sounded so earnest and caring. But would you really miss your family? She wondered. Are you really close to them? Every single member? Or just your mum? Tiger keeps me company, she smiled, realizing she had portrayed a rather dismal life story. She tried to lighten things up with an impish remark. "So whatever you do," she teased, "be very nice to my little pussycat." James laughed. "Believe me, if your cat ever looks at me like that again, I won't be able to keep a straight face." Sandra giggled. She enjoyed James's animated way of expressing himself. "Ready for the frozen yogurt?" he asked with a grin, his brown eyes sparkling. "I'll just have to get it out of my freezer." "I'd love some," Sandra replied. "I'll be back in a sec then," he said, getting up from his chair. It was only a few minutes before James returned with a container, spoons and a couple of bowls. "I'm amazed you're so slim," he remarked as he scooped out the pink, swirled, creamy dessert. "You ate as much as I did tonight." It wasn't entirely true. Sandra had had just as many biscuits, but not a third bowl of chowder. She didn't respond, and James handed her a bowl of the frozen cherry yogurt without further prodding. "Anyway, I hope you understand," he said, scooping out a generous helping for himself, "that I fully regret blowing up at you last week. My family is fairly intense," he smiled. "Not everyone can put up with us or understand where we're coming from. I wrongfully assumed that Peter had put you up to give me that invitation, and I have to admit, I was shocked to think you may have fallen for his crazy ideas." "Crazy?" Sandra clarified with surprise, holding a pink spoonful up to her lips. "Are they only his ideas?" "No, I guess not," James admitted uncomfortably. "But Peter was the first one to bring them into my family." "And how does the rest of your family feel about it?" Finishing off a big spoonful of the creamy dessert, James sighed. It was a deep, heartfelt sigh. "Sandra," he tried to explain, "my older brother Andrew used to be the pastor of the biggest church in town. Everyone really respected him. He was an awesome pastor, the perfect guy for the job. I was a member of that same congregation ever since we both moved out here in our teens. We were at that church for over 12 years. When my parents came out to Nova Scotia a year and a half ago, they became members too. It was great. We did a lot of good in this community." "Then Peter came along," James said, digging fervently into the frozen yogurt as a bitter tone came into his voice. "He convinced my brother Andrew that he was wrong in a few areas of doctrine, and the next thing I knew, my brother Andrew had resigned. He gave up his vocation, his house, his reputation, and now he and his wife and their 5 kids are living with my parents. He's had to go back to college at 35 to try and become an English teacher. He's lost everything he's worked for in the last decade. It's totally ruined his life." "And what do your parents think of it?" Sandra asked. "Ah, they're messed up too," James said regretfully. "Everyone in that house is trying to sort things out. It's mass confusion. None of them have actually joined Peter's church yet, but they go there all the time. I hope they'll see it for what it is and change their minds. I wish everything could be the way it used to be." Looking thoughtful, Sandra tried to merge James's view of the situation with Peter and Jessica's. She could understand now why James felt badly about it all. But was it truly confusion that Peter had brought to this family, or just change? "I understand how you feel," she said kindly, scooping up the last pink spoonful in her bowl. "It must be hard to see your family go through such turmoil. But I haven't yet found anything to be confusing in what Jessica's told me. Maybe that's simply because it's all new to me," she admitted candidly. "I don't have strong opinions on what is right or wrong." "You can be easily mizzled," James warned. "I can," Sandra admitted. And then a sudden thought came to her. She smiled invitingly. "But not if I have someone to talk it over with." "Well, it won't be me," James said firmly, shaking his head. "I can be as easily led astray as you. I'm not qualified to discuss religious matters." "Is that what you're afraid of?" Sandra wondered, remembering Peter's remarks to his brother in the courtyard. "Are you afraid you'll be led away from truth? Or are you afraid to try and find it?" "But you're sure that Peter's wrong?" she questioned. "I really don't want to talk about Peter," James said flatly, shaking his head again. "Did you hear he and Jess lost the house?" Sandra asked, not using Peter's name, but suddenly thinking James might want to know about the situation. "What? I thought the offer had been accepted." "It was conditional on financing," she told him. "And his partners in Australia, who were supposed to buy out his company, defaulted on the agreement. They're saying his company isn't worth as much anymore since he's not there to manage it. Therefore, they can't afford to give him any more money." "But they have all his heavy equipment," James replied. "I hope he's not going to let them get away with that." "I don't think he sees it that way," Sandra told him calmly. He and Jessica say that they'd rather keep a good relationship with them all than push to get their money out. See, my brother is crazy, James sighed ruefully, shaking his head. I really should have a word with him. He stood up and collected the empty dessert bowls. That was amazing, Sandra, he smiled. That cherry yogurt scores a 10. And listen, I don't think it's fair for you to do all that work and then have to make dinner again for yourself. From now on, whatever you make, you take half with you. He paused and then added, Perhaps we can even have dinner together again, once in a while, if that works for you. Thanks, Sandra said, dumbfounded. That's a very kind offer. She hesitated for a moment and then clarified meekly, I guess that means I still have a job? James looked at her with a measure of perplexity. Of course you do. Why would you think otherwise? Sandra's blue eyes sparkled brightly. I just needed to know for sure. With an amused smile, James shook his head as if to say he would never understand women. Then piling everything on the tray, they walked to the manor together. James pressed the up arrow at the elevator. He can be so nice, Sandra mused after they said goodbye at the second floor. The elevator continued to climb to the fourth. I'm not afraid of his intensity. It's what I admire in Peter. But Peter is intense in a caring way. James seems to be intense in an antagonistic way, at least towards Peter. I understand now why he feels Peter has messed things up, but does he really think Peter has done this to ruin their lives? As Sandra walked into her apartment and shut the door behind her, she pondered the situation. Either James knows something about Peter that I don't, or he's lost sight of his brother's true motivation.